Now you know the theme of the morning. Joy. Anybody here in need of joy? Anybody here able to identify what it is? In many ways, joy is the theme of the Christmas story. You hear it right at the very beginning. Sally read it. The kids acted it. There it is. The angel goes to the shepherds and says, don't be afraid. We bring you news of joy that in this day, the city of David, a Savior is born. Good news of great joy for all people. And then the shepherds go and they see the child. The Magi are traveling for months. And when it says when they finally got to Bethlehem, they were exceedingly joyful. Joy is sort of the theme of this season. Maybe our tone today, the weary world rejoices. Anybody feel weary? In that day, they were very weary. The shepherds were living under the oppression of Rome with all of their taxes, with Caesar's mandates for a census. And the oppression of the day of an occupied nation was very, very weary. And in the midst of that weariness, here comes a message of joy. And here we are, 21st century, and in some ways still very weary, right? We're debating whether we're actually going to go to that Christmas party or not, because we're not sure of all of the things that are going to happen there, or is it going to be dangerous, or we're not sure which family members we're going to invite to Christmas. We're not sure if the economy is going to turn around. And so we sort of live in just a very weary time. The weary world rejoices. How does the weary world get to the place of rejoicing? And it's got to be somehow locked in the idea of joy. Now, we live in a world where joy is trying to be sold to us, not in a bad way, whether it's Anheuser-Busch or Netflix or Disney or anybody else are trying to sell us on the joy that can be there. I'm not so sure it's joy. I'm gonna make a distinction there. Let's call it happiness, right? And I'm all for happiness. But is there a difference between joy and happiness? Let's all try to be happy indeed, but I think it's a wee bit different than joy. Happiness, think of the word happiness just for a second. It comes from the old English word hap, which means luck or circumstance or occasion. We use the word happenstance sometimes. That's something that happens to you. You're sort of lucky if it happens, or if it's a bad happenstance, what do we call it? A mishap. So happiness is somehow linked to a happenstance. It's somehow linked to luck. It's very much linked to a circumstance. And so we base our happiness, rightfully so or wrongfully so, on the circumstances around us. Fill in this sentence. I would be so much happier if... What circumstance do you throw in there? If my house was bigger. If my car was nicer. If I made more money. If there was more peace in my family. I would be happy if, and if I can just sort of manage my circumstances, I'd be happy. Here's an example about happening. I will be happy this afternoon at 4:00. If the Browns happen to beat the Ravens, right? I was quite happy. I was a Kent State student, certain cute little co-ed liked me. Now we've been married 40 some years. My happiness was based on the happenstance that she happened to like me. Circumstantial is happiness. Joy is different. Joy is not based on circumstance. Joy is something that comes deep within. It's a delight. It's a peace. It's a yes. It's a rejoicing. But it's not based on circumstances whatsoever. It is based on another, on something else. that is much more profound and much more stable than any circumstance of happiness. Rejoicing is based upon the character and the person and the activity of God. Always, always, always. Those will never change. And because of who God is, I can have joy. So we can read a verse like that you read throughout the New Testament that says, count it all joy when you go through all different kinds of trials. Joy in trials. How do I do that? Because God is doing something through the trials. The circumstances can be really stormy and really negative, and yet I can still have joy. That is the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on my circumstances. Joy is based above my circumstances because the Lord is the Lord of the circumstances. Now I need to get to know that Lord. Because when I know him, all of a sudden, my circumstances are no longer joy killers. Here's a really interesting verse I want to read to you. In a sort of an obscure Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk. And I just want you to hear this. Here is a person whose circumstances are really poor. And he's writing with the boots of a farmer on. And the farmer is looking at his land, and the circumstances are no good. Listen to what he says. Though the fig tree doesn't bud, and there's no fruit on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen, and there are no herds in the stall, still yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, enables me to walk on mountain heights. Olives on the vine. Though there's no more animals in the pen, though life has gotten really hard, though I get a really dire report from the doctor, though my adult children are no longer following Christ, though my bills outweigh my paycheck, I will still have joy in the Lord, my God, my Savior. Why? Those circumstances are so dire. Because joy transcends the circumstances, not because I muster it up, but because there is a God who is the Lord of the circumstances. Biggest difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness comes and goes. And I'm a fan of happiness, don't get me wrong. But happiness tends to be external and shallow. Joy has a much longer shelf life. Unlike milk, joy has no expiration date because it's based on an eternal God and it sits in the depths of my soul of a yes to what God has done. Now, God has always looked at the world and seen that it's joy deprived because it's lost focus of their God. And they've only focused on themselves and on their circumstances. And it has been God's desire to bring joy to a world without joy. And you see it. I want to show you some sort of what I would call concentric circles of joy. God tells the nation of Israel, let Israel celebrate its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Notice, the object of the joy is the maker. He's the one in charge. Whatever it is, he's got this. So I can stand back. The circle goes out a little bit farther, and it's not just Israel. Now, all of a sudden, it's all the nations. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the people with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Again, joy. Whatever injustices are out there, the nations can look at a God who is just and who will bring things to right in his justice and in his time. the concentric circles of joy. And finally, all creation. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that's filled resound. Now let all of creation, he's even telling the fish and the whales in the sea, have joy, have joy. Why? Because God is in the business of bringing joy to all creation. And where does it start? Well, the kids said it. Sally read it. It started with the news to the shepherds. Be of good joy, for in this day for all people is the Maker. He's got this, who is the one that brings justice and who ultimately will bring restoration to all creation to bring joy to all of us. And it can begin even now. It's like God is inviting us to a party. We can come or not. And we can have joy or not. You get invited to a Christmas party. And the party promises to be really awesome. The atmosphere will be really good. The food is going to be awesome. The people there are really cool. And so you have to decide, am I going to accept the invitation and go to the party? And then second of all, you go to the party and you have to decide, am I going to have fun? The host of the party will never impose joy, will never force joy on the people that come to the party. That's up to those that go to the party. There's a phrase that you hear often, choose joy. It's a good phrase. God provides the joy. God provides the source of joy in his son and in him making things right in the world one day. But it's up to me whether I choose joy. I can go to that party and it's up to my heart. It's up to my will. It's up to my attitude as to whether I will have joy or not. The shepherds saw the child lying in the manger and they had joy. The wise men, after a long, long journey, see the child that they came to worship, and they have joy. Do you? Do Christians have joy? In many ways, joy ought to be the drawl, the southern drawl of the Christians. You know, if somebody's from Mississippi, by the way they talk, right? Y'all are coming over my house about 11 o'clock today. Every Christian ought to have a joyous drawl about them, because they know the Lord of joy. So with the few minutes I have left, I'm going to encourage us to choose joy. I'm going to encourage us to choose the disciplines of joy. Here are six of them. First discipline for every one of us. This is our prescription. Joy obeys. Now you think, wait a minute, I don't really think of joy when I think of the word obedience, right? You must obey me, and you must be happy in doing it, right? And yet, as we're going to read here in a minute, joy and obedience go together because the Lord our Maker made us. And in making us, he made life to go a particular way. And as we follow the way in which he chose us to live, there's going to be joy in that. The men that make the railroad tracks make it go in a particular way. Now the train must go on that track. Now the train could say, I don't want to go on that track. I've got my... Train goes off the tracks from which it's designed to go. There's no joy in there. There's just crashing and burning in there. Joy and obedience go together because God, our Maker, designed us to live in a particular way. And in as much as we follow the instructions of our Maker, we're going to live okay. Now watch Jesus' words to his disciples. If you keep my commands, there's the idea of obey, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Where does the joy come from? It comes from abiding in Christ and obeying what he tells me to do. And in this context, the primary commandment he's talking about, love, love, Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Throughout the year, one of our more significant ministries here is ministry to those going through divorce called Divorce Care. And one of the topics they cover, every now and then they invite me to be a part of it. It's a privilege. One of the topics they cover is the topic of forgiveness. Now, it's a hard topic. Somebody that's just gone through the pains and the scars of divorce to be told that it is God's calling on your life, it's best for your spirit to choose to forgive. It's like, whoa, how do I do that? Oh, it's hard and it's a process. But without it, the residue is a bitterness that you'll never get rid of. Joy obeys, and joy even obeys the command to forgive your enemy. Discipline. If you want to be a joyous person, find out what God has said to you and obey it and live it. And the ramification will be joy. Secondly, joy obeys and joy reads. Joy reads, and I mean joy reads the scriptures. Are you still reading your Bible? Have you gotten out of that habit? That's a really good discipline to have. We've helped during Advent. If you have one of our Advent books, all we've done is we've taken verses of scripture every day. It'll just take you 5 minutes just to read a little bit of scripture. Joy reads. It's really important. Listen to what the psalmist says. I rejoice in the way. That's the maker saying, this is the way you ought to live. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I have joy in reading what your scriptures say to me in as much as I have in my bank account. I rejoice over your promise like one who finds vast treasure. He's looking at the words, the promises of scripture and saying, man, this is so rich for my soul. Are you still reading? Oh, what it does to our heart and minds to read the stories and the promises and the overall arching story of the scriptures. You got to do it. It's so important. You know, our mind trusts us. Whatever we give to our mind readily accepts. So if we give to our minds the words of Scripture, the stories of Christ, the reminders of God's plan, our mind will soak that in, and the result will be a treasure. It will be a joy because our mind trusts what we're giving it, and it incorporates it, and watch how joy comes. Now, we can give our minds all kinds of trash and angry news and all kinds of nonsense, and the more nonsense we give our mind will take it because it trusts us. But the result, because as I read, my heart and my mind are hearing the voice and the grace of God in my life. Joy reads. Third discipline. Third, there it is. Nope, skipped it. Joy gives. Joy gives. The verses here are from 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul was taking up a collection. There was a famine in Jerusalem in Israel. And of all the churches that Paul was working with, he went and was collecting some money. And he uses a ploy that we often do is we pit one group with another saying, look how good they're doing. I bet you could do better. And he's sort of doing that here. Paul is telling the Corinthians, there's this church in Macedonia, which if you know Greece, it's the same area. There's this church in Macedonia, and they're as poor as church mice. And man, they gave so generously. And his point is, joy gives. Joy is generous. Here's what he says. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You want a discipline to get joy? Be generous. Give. You know that. A generous heart is a joyful heart. We see it at Christmas time, don't we? You're all there around the tree, and even though your kids have all kinds of presents, they can't wait till you open the present they gave you. Why? Because joy gives. Generosity and joy go together. My mother just got out of the hospital, 91 years old, barely survived COVID. Oh, I've got to get why? I can't tell you how often, maybe you're visiting today, when people visit Trinity, I often hear the same thing of visitors. They usually use the word happy, but they say, Trinity is such a happy church. And I really think they mean joyful. And part of it is because we are a very generous church. Historically, Trinity has been a very generous church. And generosity and joy go side by side, which is why at the beginning of the service, Ty can talk about our Advent project of giving significant gifts to ministry partners that are local. And that's why at the end of the service and out in the foyer, we can every year talk about how we give to a ministry in India. And all year long, we've watched how God has used our generosity, not only to bring joy to our family, but joy to others as well. You want a discipline of joy in your life? Be generous. Joy gives. Next, joy prays. Sometimes you don't think about it because when you are in a prayerful state, you're usually in a needy state. But you know, when you go to prayer, you're going to the Lord about your circumstances. And oftentimes those circumstances are not the best. But you are going to the one who is the Lord over the circumstances. And you're telling him about perhaps your need. And he desires to meet that need. Oftentimes goes over and above anything we can expect. Or we come to him with our anxiety. And we lay our anxiety at his feet. And he brings peace to replace our anxiety. Joy comes when you pray. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. You want a discipline for joy? Start praying again. Start praying. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Joy never sits on its hands. Joy looks at what the needs are and says, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to serve. I'm going to get busy. That's why a church that is serving is a joyful church. I could spend all day talking about the leaders that put on this play for these kids. We didn't have to twist any arms. They just love doing it. They love serving the Lord and serving the kids. You know, we've started a number of ministries, and I don't just mean serving in the church as well, but it's what's on my mind a little bit. We've started a number of ministries during COVID. And if you're part of a ministry, thank you. This is a really hard time to do ministry for one reason or another. During this season, response is often tentative. Numbers are down, and it's easy to get discouraged. If you're part of a ministry or trying to start one, don't be discouraged. Just be faithful. Keep serving and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with joy. It'll work one way or the other. Joy is resting in the sovereign care of God and leaving the results to him. That's what serving is all about. Saw one of our members ringing the bell for Salvation Army. However you serve, serve. It's a beautiful discipline for joy. Joy never sits on its hands. Joy always serves. Serve the Lord with gladness. I think I've got one more. And joy confesses. This is the verse that I've been praying for myself all year long. Do you remember at the beginning of 2021? Remember when 2020 was ending and we were looking at the coming year and we said, this is going to be an awesome year. All that stuff is behind us and 2021 is going to be the best year ever. Well, what happened to that? Mark my word, 2029 is going to be an awesome us as a church. Word, and mine was that. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. With all of the stuff that was happening everywhere, joy was pretty scarce. Oh, to have the joy of salvation all over again. With all of the circumstances and noise, wanting to cramp out that joy. Oh, to go back to the basics of just remembering when you put your faith in Christ. Remembering God saying, I love you. And my son died for your sins. Regardless of what you've done, you're forgiven. Restore to me that joy so that I can read, though the olive tree doesn't produce any fruit, and though the cattle are not in the pen, and though none of the stuff I was hoping would happen, even though life is upside down, I will still have joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, that's easier to read than to live, but I ought to get there. Now, of course, as David pens those words, that's why I call it joy confesses. It's really a prayer of confession. David had just committed adultery against a woman with a woman and had her husband put to death to cover up his sin. And now guilt is weighing on his head and his shoulders until finally he confesses his sin. And that's the joy that he's feeling. There's no joy killer like guilt resting on your shoulders or on your head. And there's no better freeing of that guilt than confession. And watch as the guilt gets taken away, watch how joy returns. We've all been invited to a party, and it's the greatest party ever. It ought to develop joy in us, but it's up to us. Now, ultimately, the sword, we're told, have joy, on this day is born a Savior. It's the face of the one that the wise men saw and were filled with joy. Christ is the source of our joy because it is in the person and in the work of Christ that all of the things that would take away our joy are restored back to life and love and justice and grace. He is our example of joy. Watch these words. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, speaking of Christ, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that lay before him. Picture that just for a minute. Jesus is looking at the crucifix. And for the joy before him, he says, yes, I'll go to that. He sees what's on the other side of it. What's on the other side of it? Not only his coronation and his glory, but also on the other side of that is all of those things that are wrong, that are put to right. So that creation can celebrate one day, so that the nations can rejoice as they know the Savior, so that every one of us, he looked beyond the cross to see every one of us. And the forgiveness and the grace and the life that can be ours, a life of joy. And so for the joy set before him, and it's our joy, he goes to the cross. He's our joy. The Magi finally get to the manger scene, or maybe it was a few months later, but they finally get to the infant Christ. They've got three gifts. They've got the gold, a gift fit for a king, because they know born right there is the King of Kings. Incense used in the temple by priests. He is the go-between between a holy God and us. And then the third gift is the gift of myrrh, an odd gift. It's some sort of ointment, some sort of spice used in preparing bodies for burial. Because that baby ultimately came to be a sacrifice. And it is that sacrifice that for the joy set before him, he would go to the cross. And in going to the cross, he provided the possibility of joy for all of us. We're all invited to the party. Will you accept the invitation? Will you choose joy in coming to that party? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you one more announcement before we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ministry of these kids today. Thank you for the reminder of the basic message of life, but also of Christmas, the message of joy. I pray for all of my friends in this room, and I know every one of us are facing circumstances that are really knocking us off our game. Lord, I pray that even despite adverse circumstances, we might look to Christ as our Savior and as our source of joy. Thank you that you are the Lord of the circumstances, even. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you one more thing as you come. Sue's going to come and join me. Sally's mic is right there. As you know, part of our, every year, part of our Christmas ministry, Advent ministry, is with India, with what's called the Dignity Freedom Network. As you know, India is all caste. The bottom of the caste system are known as the Dalit or the Untouchables. And for years, we've been doing all kinds of different ministries for them, building schools, helping women, churches, all of those kind of things. Here's our ministry for this year. Remind us again.
So, you know, India was ravaged with COVID, and they've identified 600 orphans, either who one parent or both have died of COVID, and they're on the streets. And we have taken 150 of those kids, 150 of those kids at $50,000 is the price for that. And, you know, I've said it before, but, you know, when kids are on the street and they're untouchables, the next step is trafficking. And that will be their destiny if they are not rescued. And in rescuing them, that means that we get them into a safe house, give them an education. This is for a year, each kid. And so this is such a generous place. And we have been so generous over the years to the untouchables. Somebody asked me, at the table today about the cups that we have, the clay cups that are on the table. And Dalits are only allowed to drink out of clay cups, and they must be broken immediately after their lips touch it and they drink out of it so that nobody else gets contaminated by their untouchability. And they have no rights in India. And so
we've come alongside them basically to bring the dignity of, yes, of Christ to them. 150 kids is what we've identified. How many do we have so far?
We're 1/4 of the way there.
Okay.
So we're at 12,500.
And you're at a table out there. Go learn more.
Right out there. Yep.
There's various levels by which you can do it as well. If you have your Advent book, it's spelled out in there as well as you can go to the table.
So that every person in the church can give at whatever level they can.
I just put that up just to tug on your heart.
They're beautiful, beautiful children.
Thanks, love.
Going out.
Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss us to go and have a joyous day. Now, may the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. And I'll add his joy through Christ today and tomorrow and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.